Thank you, Ann. 19 minutes after 6 o'clock on the early edition. Well, his name may be familiar if you have been a listener to CBC Radio over the past couple of years. Derek Miller is a local blogger. He's the man behind the website Pen Machine, and he has been sharing his story with us about living with cancer. His story, he says, now turns to dying of cancer. Last week, his blog posting came with the title Endgame, and I went to visit Derek at his home in Burnaby to see what this new chapter means to him and his family.
Tell me what happened last week.
Well, last Thursday, which was November 25th, Thanksgiving in the U.S., but not here, thankfully, my wife and I met with my oncologist at the BC Cancer Agency. And, it was no surprise. I sort of pried out of him the how long have I got, doc, answer, which even over 4 years has not usually been forthcoming because I've had a lot of different treatments. And I essentially asked him, do you seriously expect that I will still be coming to visit you here in your office in 2 years? And he said, honestly, no. So that's not saying I got 2 years to live. It probably means less. Nobody really knows how much less. Could be a year, could be 6 months, could be 18. Just depends on how things go. The main thing is I've taken a whole bunch of different treatments, mostly chemotherapy. And the one I was taking most recently hasn't really been working. And there's not a lot of other options left. So that's basically where I sit. The thing I found out essentially is that I'm going to die pretty soon, and I'm 41, so that's not what people expect.
Was there a decision to stop treatment of all kinds?
Well, not of all kinds, but certainly to stop the chemo I was taking, which is this particular one. You know, I've been through a lot of different chemos, and this one was especially brutal for whatever reason, whether because it was a stronger set of drugs. It was actually some drugs that I'd had before in a different combination. But the thing is, there's not, you know, while there are other trials and other things that might come up, none of those is really all that likely to do anything. He even said to me, it's more, you know, if you were to try these other things that we've got in the pipeline right now, you would mostly be doing it just to, you know, help our studies rather than with any big likelihood of treating yourself. Lucy, what are you barking at? Come here.
How are you feeling right now?
Physically, I'm feeling better because I'm not taking the chemo. Mentally, it's surprisingly, it's a bit of a relief because, you know, I guess I've known for a couple years that these treatments haven't been making the cancer go away. So that's told me, you know, I probably don't have that long, probably don't have 10 years. Probably don't have maybe 5 years. I was thinking maybe, but probably less than that. So this is, it's not a surprise, and it's kind of, I guess, it's getting out of that limbo state of, okay, are any of these things going to work or not? The answer is probably not. So obviously there's a lot to deal with emotionally and logistically and whatever else, but I feel like I'm ready to, you know, make some choices and live my life for as long as I've got. You know, I'm not necessarily instinctively good at making other people a priority. You know, I think everybody's inherently selfish in a lot of ways. And I was an only child. I got to do my own thing for a long time. And in a lot of ways, most of my life has been pretty easy for me, you know, other than this stuff. But, you know, I've never worried about where my next meal is going to come from or whether I'm going to have a place to live or anything like that. So I really have to turn my focus to my wife and my kids and try and do what's best for them in the long run, because that's ultimately what's going to matter. I'm not one of these people who thinks that cancer could in any way be a good thing, but there are some silver linings in that I've been home on disability, which means I see my kids go to school, see them off in the morning. I'm here when they come home. I'm not at work. I've spent a lot more time with them doing stuff than I probably would have if I was working full time. One of my daughters is homesick today, and so I'm just home here, and I can make sure she's okay and she's watching some TV. But you know, I'm not having to arrange babysitting or take time off anything. I'm just here, and that's good. You know, given everything, I'm glad that's the case. I would still rather it not be the case. I'd rather be healthy and working and see them a fair bit and get to see them go to high school and graduate and grow up, which I probably won't see. So, you know, it's not the best balance, but it's okay given the circumstances.
Has being, you've been very generous with your time with CBC and certainly sharing everything on the blog. Has being this public about it been at all therapeutic, or is it just that we keep asking?
No, absolutely. I've sought it out. Again, you know, I wanted an audience. I'm kind of a ham. I've also worked as a musician for more than 20 years, drums and some guitar, and I sing, and, you know, I've worked in wedding bands and all this sort of stuff. I like to be on stage in front of people and make a fool of myself and have people pay attention to me. So, you know, this is a sucky excuse for a way to do it, but it's not, not bad.
Everything you've been saying in the blogging, in you talking to me right now, is there something that, some message you're trying to get out there?
Well, I think it's related to a lot of stuff like the recent Movember campaign and the underwear affair race where people raise money by running around in their underwear. One thing I'm trying to do is to get people to talk about not just cancer, which there's tons of stuff for, you know, breast cancer awareness and benefits and whatever, but the uncomfortable stuff. I mean, this is butt cancer ultimately that started this for me, and people are uncomfortable if something's going on in that region. A lot of people aren't comfortable going to the doctor and talking about it, but I am telling you, go to the doctor and talk about it. If something's going wrong, if you're over 50, you need to get screened for it. It's not that bad to get a colonoscopy. It really isn't. They give you drugs that knock you out. You don't even know what's going on. So I think that's probably what I'm trying to tell people, and what some of these other humorous campaigns are trying to do is that, you know, make it a bit of a lighter thing so that we can talk about our health to doctors, to our friends, to our relatives and families, and maybe have better health as a result. So there you go.
We will talk again, I'm sure.
I hope so. I hope I'm around long enough to do that. Last time we spoke was more than 2 years ago, mm-hmm. So it'll have to be sooner than that, most likely.
It's really good to see you.
Thank you.
And as part of my conversation with Derek Miller, he has been blogging about his fight with cancer. You can find a link to his blog on our website. Go to cbc.ca/early edition and check out the links tab there.